Amen. All right, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, there's a whole lot going on in the world today, and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you'll show us what you want us to pray about. You'll tell us what you want us to pray about. Lead us into that, and we praise you and thank you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the work that your angels are doing to help the people. And we praise you and thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for the prayers that we have already put out there, that they are being answered even as we speak right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for setting the people free that needs to be set free and locking up the ones that don't in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing. Amen. All right. Has anyone else got anything they'd like to pray about that has to need prayer? There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot here and abroad. And it all looks like I saw it. I listened to a lady, an article just a few minutes ago about the EU is European Union is the EU. European Union is just fraught with corruption. Even the head of it, I forget the lady's name, but she has been caught diverting money away from what it was intended to go for. Not just a couple of dollars either, billions. And it's just same old story, same old story. Corrupt politicians. That may be the end of that. And Lord, we thank you for exposing every corruption, every fraud, everything that these people are doing. And Lord, we ask that you just do away with it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for protecting your people over in Iran. These people are going around and killing whole families if they find something on Facebook that doesn't suit them. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for shielding your elect from this. In Jesus' mighty name. Can y'all hear me okay? Or do I need to get this a little closer? Is that better? Okay. All right. All right. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Lord, I thank you for protecting your ICE agents out there in this United States. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. No one gets hurt. Go ahead, Missy.
Brandon had this vision, and he saw a massive storm around Congress. That was part of it. But he said he saw Capitol Hill and J.D. Vance. He was in black and white. He was like a cartoon character, and he had this big head, kind of like the bobbleheads things. And he was like on the steps of the Capitol or something. And there's this peacock on the Capitol. His feathers weren't spread. He was humbled. And at first I thought of NBC. But then I thought, well, maybe it represents President Trump. I don't know. 'Cause you know how he struts his stuff. He's very
Careful,
not
they're
very
listening.
He's not very humble. And there was this thing with Marco Rubio, with these big eyes looking at JD Vance, and his eyes going back and forth or watching, I don't know. But what really caught me too was this massive storm around Congress, and J.D. Vance was the only one in black and white. But anyway, and I thought this massive storm is the corruption being brought out in the open and exposed.
Now he was
and
in
said,
black and white. What were everybody else in? Regular colored cold clothes?
I guess so, but he said he was like a cartoon character. So I don't know what all that was about, and he didn't explain what he thought or anything, but actually the first thing that came to me about the peacock was NBC. But I think it might represent President Trump. And maybe in general, the government being humbled, with this massive storm around Congress and everything, I mean, a great humbling coming to the government. But I don't know. But Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for exposing all corruption and bringing the truth out about things that are going on behind the scenes. You've been showing Brandon that there's rats within the White House and in the government. It sounds like where you wouldn't expect it. But anyway, so Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. If you send forth the angels, send confusion in the camp of them all. Put fear, God, in them that they all start squealing on each other. They all start squealing, scatter them, send confusion, Lord, and rout them all out, Lord, and bring us a government that's seducive to the gospel, and Lord, that will allow it to be spread, Lord, and Lord, that when the Congress gets exposed, I believe, Lord, that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to find out what they've been supporting and didn't understand it. And it's going to bring the nation, many people to repentance and trusting in the government rather than you, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for just bringing everything together for the purpose of the gospel and furthering your kingdom in this country and the world, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. One thing that the deep state tries to do to a country in order to take it over is to get so many distractions that they've got too many people over here, too many people over here, and they can't help over here because they're over here, and they keep it like that, and they want to destroy it from him within and get people to bicker, and that's exactly what's going on. So Lord,
So
we just ask and we pray for great and wonderful insight and discernment in the government. In Jesus' name, go ahead.
we cast down the faction, Lord, and all this bickering and fighting, like Michael was saying, and this confusion. We command clarity to what's going on, and we thank you, Lord, for sending the angels to help in all this, however you would have them help. Lord, we know you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for doing it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I was just thinking about all the like 9/11 false flag events, and Lord, we just bind all that, all the nefarious activities and plans and schemes for another 9/11 false flag events to cause destruction and anarchy and to get the attention on something else other than what's really happening. And we thank you, Father, for doing that, God, in a great and mighty way. We speak failure to all of their plans. We speak total, just utter failure to everything they've planned, scheme, and devised. And that their communications be such, Lord, that they can't communicate and that they make mistakes in what they're doing and which will allow them to get caught and all their plans exposed, Lord, that they will fall into the traps that they have set for the righteous, that they have set for the innocents, and they have set for those, Lord, that they mean to hurt. And I thank you, Lord, that your word will come to pass because we reap what we sow. And Lord, if they can be forgiven and repented, Lord, let that be so and bring people into your kingdom, God. They would have a change of heart, Lord. They would realize that they are being played, they're being used, and that they want to make things right and to do the right thing. And you put that in their hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will save many, many lives, Lord. And we praise you and thank you that you're sovereign over all these things. It just seems so outrageously ridiculous that people are even listening and doing what they're doing in these cities. And we pray for your protection on the righteous, on your elect in these cities, God, that you will move them out of harm's way, that they won't try to get involved with all this chaos and wanting to be a hero or something and just being in the wrong place at the wrong time and all kinds of things, Lord. So we thank you for your angels that guard and protect us in all of our ways. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing down this deep state and fulfilling every plan and purpose that you have for our president, and that you give him continual guidance, wisdom, that you will speak to his heart, put your will into his mind, Lord, and your plans, that you will cause him to do the things you need him to do. And if you're telling him to push the button on Iran and all that that means, what Brandon was seeing, then Lord, help him to do that and to do it with boldness and with confidence that he knows that he's hearing from you, that he knows that this is what he's supposed to do. And every lie of the enemy and every wrong counsel he's getting, any bad influences that are coming into him, Lord, and causing him to do something or not do something, we command that to be separated. Let those people be separated from among him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for exposing the rats that are within the government there that are doing what rats do. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for exposing all that, Lord, and bringing justice and righteousness, Lord. And we also ask for your mercy in all these things, God, because people just do not know what they have done and what they're doing and what they're involved in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah. What's your name, Ben?
What's going on? I didn't see too much about the news with what's going on with Carney and the Chinese, but he's making a sort of a peace deal or a trade deal with China right now, and I didn't really see too much about it, so I'm not going to say too much about it, but Lord, I don't know what's going on up there, but we know that you're sovereign over all things, and Lord Father God, we know that there's plans for the future, Lord, and we know that things need to happen, and we thank you, Lord, for doing what you need to do, and Father God, let this show the people that Carney's not in it for Canada. He's in it for his international career. He's in it for his nationalistic, socialistic mindset, Father. And let the people see that it's not good for us to do this with China, and that you know, that something happens. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I saw something today, Julie, about California, that the independent truckers have decided not to come into California because of the laws that they just passed on the truckers, that they can't have anything older than a 2010 truck because of their so-called emissions problem. And so they just said, yeah, they just said, okay, well, we're not coming in there to get your stuff off the docks. Now they've got stuff sitting out on the docks. You can't get out of there. And the trucker said, you know, you just do whatever you got to do, but we're not coming back into California until you rescind that law. Not just, they wanted to forego it for 6 months. And the trucker said, nope, that ain't going to work. Even the truckers' labor union And these guys are not union. These are independent drivers that they try to. But these guys, a 2008 truck costs somewhere around $150,000 for them. Yeah. That's not a new one. That's a used one. And then they want them to buy a brand new one, which is going to cost them twice that. And they can't afford it. They can't afford it. They're not going to afford it. They just said, well, we'll just not go into California anymore. And so they've got stuff lined up on the docks out there, and they can't get rid of it because there's no trucks coming in to get it. Because, listen, California is the largest importer state in the union. They import considerable amount of stuff all across the United States. And so the leftists have got themselves in a pickle here. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, Julie.
Was this a law that they put it went into effect in January of this year?
Sometime recently, I assume. I don't
Okay.
know.
They
I
put in
didn't
a
ask.
bunch of new laws, the other not a bunch of new laws that came up for California, and they've made some real stupid ones. For all the environmentalists and all these things where they're like, we've got to save the planet, save the trees, so we're doing away with paper and that kind of thing, for grocery bags. So then they put in these really thick
Stupid.
plastic bags that you could use. They're like reusable. They have now, as of 1st of January, they banned those. They're not making them available in the stores. Not only that, the bags that you put like your produce in, the little compost
Wet
biodegradable
looking
for
things.
the those things for you put your veggies in, that kind of stuff when you go to buy your, they took those off the shelf too. So he was like, so what are people supposed to use? It's like, how much stuff do you buy in plastic? Right? I'm like, where's there's there where's there
All of
where's
it.
their reasoning? It's just stupid rules and regulations. And anyway, God help us
That's why
all, Lord.
everything is high in California.
Well, that's one reason. But yeah, just stupid rules. So, Lord, I just pray that they make their reverse their decisions and rewrite the laws, because they're making some dumb mistakes. I wondered the reason I asked if it was a law, or it was something that just that they recently came up with in retaliation to, like, Trump's like threatening to take away their federal money and that kind of thing. So I was just wondering if it had something to do with that, like kind of like a. You do this, well, we'll just say we can't, you're not going to get your food. We're not going to allow truckers to come in. But it's okay. Lord, you've worked it out and put it up in your
Amen.
hand.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that you get rid and you help us open up the people's brain, and their discerning eyes to see the trouble that these people make for them. And Lord, we thank you for getting them out of there and have some good, wholesome, good, true elections in Jesus' name. Most of these people have been put in there and put in there and put in there by these machines that they use. Okay, Lord, we thank you for getting rid of those Dominion machines. Every one of them. Neutralize all right. Anyone else? Yeah, election fraud. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Brandon, saw the Lord showed Brandon that New York City burning with a lot of riots and so on and so forth, people just going stupid. And I think a big part of it is Mom Donnie, his stupidity and all he's, but then there's also those paid protesters too. So, Lord, we just ask you for your mercy and grace in this, Lord, that it not be as bad as what that you showed Brandon, and get your elect out of there, son, some shape or form, Lord. Have
Absolutely.
mercy. Even if you got to send the angels like you did for Lot and pull them out of there, Lord, if they've got no way to go. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for making a way. And we just thank you for doing that and protecting them and watching over them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yep. Thank you, Lord, for getting me over here quickly. All right, Julie.
I was just thinking, all these things that are happening in these blue cities, these sanctuary cities, and these states that are all, they are what they are, and the leftists. Don't you believe that these are all part of the things that God said is the judgment that He was bringing on the nation to these places because of the sin that's in these cities? So it's a right, a righteous recompense that Lord's bringing on these places because of their sin, Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's all kinds of fraud, and there's all kinds of just wickedness, just wicked Satanism, the pedophilia, the what these people are doing with it, the drug trafficking, the weapon trafficking, all the things that are happening. And have been going on, that these are the judgments. This is part of it. So we just, we just have to keep trusting the Lord and praying, and Lord, give us wisdom on how to pray about these things, because there is so much going on, and it's hard to keep track of it all. And every time we turn on the news, it's to find out, what's if there's anything good there or anything new, or what to pray about. It's turmoil. And it doesn't look good. So I thank you, Lord, that you're going to turn things around according to your plan, and for the man child to be coming in and bringing down these false prophetic churches and teachers and all these things too. That's going to happen. It's all going to come, Lord, according to your ways. And we thank you, Lord, for waking up the masses as you do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
One thing that might be helpful for people here and those people that are listening too is to start using your faith for things that you need, that you're going to need. Like if you need some mayonnaise or something like that, just use your faith. It's going to come to that. It's going to come to that. And those who haven't exercised their faith may be in trouble. So, anyway, yeah, Missy. Not that mayonnaise is a big deal, but it goes on bologna sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to be a little bit logical here. Go
Got to put
ahead.
something on your bread,
Well,
right?
absolutely.
I believe there's a story from David where they wanted poultry, cheese, and mayonnaise.
It's what?
There's a story from David where they needed poultry, cheese, and mayonnaise, and the Lord gave it. Had people give it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. While I was away at my family's this weekend, I was talking to my sister-in-law on Saturday, and I was telling Maron and Alex what she had told me on our way home on Sunday, and she said that she has a friend that has a sister that is getting paid to recruit people to have them trained to do these protests and everything, and how far they can go without being arrested. Her friend was so upset to find out that her sister was involved in this. And I said to Alex, I said, this stuff is going on in the big cities. That's where stuff like this is happening. And I said, if you see things start to get crazy, you come and you can come and stay with us. Like, I've been praying for him, Lord, get him out of that city. He likes it there because he doesn't like driving, and he can walk to work. It takes him 15 minutes to walk to work. But anyway, and another thing she said, actually I think my brother and her both were telling me about this. My niece lives out in the San Francisco area, and she has a boyfriend named Pablo, and he's born in Mexico, but he's well educated, and he's in the whole AI thing. And his father had a heart attack, and he had to go back to Mexico, and he's having a hard time getting back in, even though he has a high ranking, for lack of a better way of saying it, visa. He's not going to be able to get back in for another 5 weeks. But he said, as an more as a Mexican born, living here on a visa, he said Trump isn't doing enough. And it made me I realized maybe what the answer is, because the Lord showed Brandon that Claudia, what's her face, the president, something shine. Actually, my sister-in-law told me she is not Mexican, ethnically Mexican at all. She's Jewish, which her name does give away, her last name. But she also Lithuanian. I forget what else she told me, but and that the Lord showed Brandon that she was taken out, and this man, this businessman, like President Trump is, goes in there, not connected to the cartel or anything like that, and he goes in there, and then and they're going to have a big revival there. So Lord, and I think maybe President Trump is going to make a move there, or and have her taken out like he did Maduro. I don't know. I mean, because he said he needs to do more, and I didn't ask, and they didn't offer what he thinks they should do. But anyway, so Lord, you show Brandon that she's taken out. Lord, we ask you to expedite that, Lord, for the Mexican people, for the American people, for getting rid of the cartels, Lord, and bringing this businessman in that takes over. I don't know if he's elected or what. He said that he is given this position, and he said the guy reminded him of Antonio Banderas. Anyway, and he's very savvy and well spoken, and everything like Trump. He's a business guy like Trump. So Lord, we ask you to expedite this, Lord, for the sake of our borders, for the sake of our people and the drug cartels and all the corruption, and the, for the sake of the Mexican people, Lord, and your elect, and for the furtherance of your gospel, Lord. This is the most important thing, is all that you're doing is for the furtherance of your gospel. And we just thank you, Lord, for doing that. And putting someone in there that will be forthright and not a criminal, and have a heart to want to do right for the people and and their relations with this country and other countries. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Let's pray for Angelica's dryer. Said he quit working on it. In the name of Jesus, we command that dryer to start working right now in Jesus' name. Every time she pushes a button to dry a load of clothes or whatever it is, you'll work. You will work in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that that dryer is working. Now she go back over there and turn it off, turn it back on. It's going to work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Y'all believe it? Amen. It's working. All right. Anybody else?
I'll just say amen. Lord bless Angelica's appliances, all of them, and mine too, and everybody else's, Lord, that we're not going to have to put money
Amen.
into them. We're not going to have them fixed. or nothing, Lord. As long as they're in our possession and our use and for stewardship, Lord, and doing what they're supposed to do, we won't have any problems with our, bless you, we won't have any problems with our appliances, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You have to work, dryer, because you are under our feet. We have dominion over you. In the name that's above every name, you work in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I was going to show how that we had that problem with our dryer. I think you guys knew about this a few years ago. Our dryer wouldn't work before we moved here. We're in Illinois. Our dryer wasn't working and just wouldn't start. And, you know, I'm like, well, let's get a guy here. No. Denny's saying no. Lord's going to start this dryer. So we're waiting and waiting and praying. And he goes down there now and then, tries to start it. It's still not going to start. And so he did it for quite, you know, several times. And and within that time, I'm still saying, maybe we should just call the guy to come to fix our dryer. So, nope. So then one day he said, okay, this is it. He goes down there. He goes, Lord, I'm going to push the button on this dryer. It doesn't start. I'm calling the guy. He pushed the button and it started. But it was like 2 months that it just wouldn't start. And it
Praise
just started.
God.
Praise the Lord. Your horse is going to start in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's not a
Thank
threat
you,
to the Lord, is it? That's not threatening the Lord, is it?
What? Oh.
If it doesn't start, I'm going to go.
Yeah. He's at the Lord because he was praying and waiting for 2 months or so. I'm just going to call the guy if you don't start this. So, yeah. Actually, he tried it once and it wouldn't start. And they said, okay, I'm going to do it one more time. It was funny.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I just want to praise and thank the Lord. I wasn't feeling very good earlier today, and I'm all better. Thank you, Lord. Pain is gone. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to do a little praying here. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm putting you on notice. You have tried and tried distraction in this group all the time. I command you right now to bow your knees to Jesus and cease your activities right now in the name of Jesus. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that every one of us are overcomers over this foul demon of distraction. And I thank you, Lord, I'm talking about myself too. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to be focused on you. We're going to get up in the morning praising you, Jesus, for the things that you've done for us. And we're going to continue the rest of the day in that vein. And we praise you. Thank you, Lord, that this spirit of distraction in this fellowship has been gone and eliminated in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for giving us overcoming power, overcoming faith to believe that it's already done. And all we have to do now is do what you want us to do. And that's to get in there and talk to you, Father, and find out what you want us to do for this day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us and guiding us through the day. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Well, hi, Missy. Go ahead.
You know, I got to thinking about this dream that I had this morning. And it was, at first I took it as a correction dream, and I think it was to a degree. But after I really got to thinking about it, after I was talking to you, Julie, the Lord started showing me some stuff. And I'm going to tell you, I had this dream where It was like I was in high school and I was about ready to graduate. And I wanted to get in, and I've had dreams about this little red car before. I had this little red car and I wanted to get it out of the garage, but I couldn't. And my dad had to move a lawnmower, and for some reason he couldn't move it. It had this big attachment, like this big grass mowing thing behind it. Flash. Anyway. And there are these like three friends, and because I couldn't get out of my get my car out to go to school, we were going to graduate. We had these black cap and gowns, and there were three of us, and there was this other girl. And for some reason, I think it was her name, that she's the only one that I remember, Polly. And it was this little car, and you could barely fit four people, and they were like squished together. It was almost probably like a smart car. I never was in one, but now I think about it, it might have been something like that, whatever, just this tiny little thing. But anyway, and Polly said no, she wasn't gonna go. She was gonna go on her scooter, her little scooter. And so we got to school, and for some reason I forgot my black cap and gown. And someone gave me this phone. I didn't have my phone for some reason. And it wasn't, it was like a landline phone, but the buttons seemed to be screwed up, and I kept trying to push the number in to call my husband. And I was having a hard time remembering it, even though I did remember it, but it seemed like the buttons were out of place and I kept screwing up and I couldn't get it punched in right. That was the end of the dream. And I got to thinking about this more, and I got to thinking, okay, black cap and gown, which is typical, but you know, it was like I forgot this black cap and gown to graduate. And I believe the Lord showed me that's like apostate Christianity. It's like the Lord's not gonna let me go that way. He's not gonna allow me to run after the flesh, you know. Something like that. It was like it was, you know, that he, you know, I wasn't prepared. I couldn't graduate with them because I'm not part of them. You know, it's kind of like the, you know, anyway, they were the virgins. And even though I didn't have white on or anything like that, it was like the Lord, it was like the Lord wasn't going to allow me to go that way. And he wasn't allow going to allow me to communicate land. It was like a landline phone, you know, which is earthly. You know, you can't communicate with the Lord that way. I didn't have my cell phone, and your cell phone is, you know, heavenly, if you want to look at it that way. But anyway, I was just got to thinking about all this, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for showing me these things and encouraging me. it's like my dad was like the father, wasn't gonna let me go in the covering of the blood of the lamb and go and do my own thing. You know, I don't have that covering, you know. He's not going to let me do what I want, you know. But anyway, but on, you know, so, but he wasn't going to allow me to go that way, to walk in the flesh, his mercy and grace, you know. He wasn't going to allow me to graduate with apostates. That's how I looked, took the whole thing. So anyway, I don't know if anybody else seen anything like that, but seen anything else in there, but I really got to thinking about it then. I was like, yeah, okay. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for not allowing any of us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace upon us all, working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And thank you for your disciplines and your trials, and help us to rest in you, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to you, which is our spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is the good and perfect will of God, good and acceptable, I think, perfect will or something like that, of God. Your will, Lord. Let me just thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. All right. Anyone else, right quick?
Yeah, amen, Missy. You'll be wearing white, lamppost.
Amen. 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 We believe with you. All right. We've got a couple of songs we'd like to play, but I want, did everybody get to look at the question that we were going to tackle tonight? About what was it? First Corinthians. What is it, Debbie?
Was it 15:29? 15:29.
Yeah, 15:29.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we have discussed that before on there. It's been quite some time ago, but we'll do it again. It won't take long. It won't take long at all, and you'll understand. All right, Julie's got a couple of songs for us, or at least one anyway, right now. Two songs, but we're going to play one right now, one later. That's all right. Let me give you
Would you please
access
grant me
here.
share? Thank you.
I certainly will. I certainly will. All right, you got it. Bucket will be around shortly.
The lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. And as Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves. There's our God intent to dwell again with us. He knows. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone holy? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave.
That song. That's a good song. All right. Let's see if I can find that. Do-do-do. Oh, wait a minute. All right. What was that verse again, Debbie? You got it?
1 Corinthians 15:29.
15:29. Okay. All right. I'm gonna start out. What?
29.
Yeah, I was looking where I'm going to start. I'm going to start 27. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he saith all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted. But who did subject all things unto him? And when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected to him that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do that are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why do we also stand in jeopardy every hour? All right, that's 29 is the one we want to focus on. And the question is, baptized for the dead. And what does all this mean? Who wants to be first? Okay.
I will.
All right, Debbie.
I'm going to say what I don't understand. There's a lot of good things when I've been looking into it, but it still doesn't make sense to me about the, like the, and I'll get to your question soon, of the actual being baptized for the dead. How, why is that important? I mean, because it's not a precedent in the Bible or anything. And so anyway, I'm guessing, I think I found out that, let me see, I think I wrote it down. Those baptized for the dead were brought to faith in Christ by the testimonies of those now dead. That was one thing that was said. But the purpose of it hasn't seemed to, hasn't, I haven't found a purpose in it. I don't, you know, I can't tell what it means, but.
Okay, let's look at it. Let's look at it here. It doesn't fit anything that he said before or after, does it? Okay. Then what is he doing? He's saying, listen, we got a bunch of guys out there that's baptizing for the dead. Why are they baptizing for the dead? And so what he's doing, he's discounting it. He's saying, this is not right. This is, you're not supposed to be doing this. You don't baptize for the dead. I ain't going to bring them back. He's talking about dead in spirit. Dead in physical. Is anybody else get that? That's what I'm thinking he's saying. Yeah, Ben. Oh, he's just agreeing. Okay. Well, thank you, brother. Go ahead, Missy.
What I took it to mean was, if there's no resurrection, and you know, it says later on we're most pitiable, you know, and it's, you know, talking about, you know, my understanding is, you know, we're buried in baptism, buried with Christ, and we're raised with him. We were crucified with him. We're raised with him. And, it, you know, that to be baptized for them, I got to pull this back up. Help me, Lord. What I'm seeing is, okay, else what shall they do that are baptized for the dead, if the dead are not raised at all? Why then are they baptized for them? In other words, it's, I think what Debbie said there was that added a little bit extra to my understanding of what, you know, those that preached the gospel to them told them, you know, and they may be dead now, and they weren't raised in the resurrection, or at the coming of the Lord, where the dead in Christ are raised and the that are alive and remain are called up together, whatever. What are they baptized for if there's no resurrection? You know, if they preached to them the gospel and they received Christ and there's no baptism, I mean, there's no resurrection, you know, why were they even baptized? Because that's what baptism shows, death and resurrection. So if there's no resurrection, why were they even baptized, you know, after receiving the Lord? Because anyway, am I explaining? Do y'all understand what I'm trying to say? That's what I get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing. Same thing. It looks to me like he inserted that in there to deal with the problem that he was having there.
Yeah, there were ones saying that there was no resurrection, you know, which I think that's what the Sadducees, they're Sadducee, because there's no resurrection, you know, like, boy, they're most pitiable, aren't they? Oh, boy.
Okay, well, that could be, yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you know, I remember that this very same apostle, when he addressed the Ephesians, he said that he was raised up with him. So was he kind of crazy for thinking he was already raised? No, he wasn't crazy. Of course not. But if they're saying there is no resurrection, it stems from the question. And Paul really explained things in great detail. So he's trying to answer this saying here that there's no resurrection of the dead. And in verse 12, he says, now, if Christ is preached that he hath been raised from the dead, how say some among you, now this is in the church, okay, that there is no resurrection of the dead? So therefore, Paul's statement there to the Ephesians that I was raised up with him, made to be seated with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, because a lot of people forget to put that in Jesus there at the end, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, perhaps that statement is saying that when the Messiah comes, there's going to be a resurrection from the dead, because that's how they understood it from the Old Testament. But what they don't know is that there still has to come, as it's going to be saying later on in 51 here, the resurrection. So, you know, that's how much detail he went from verse 12 all the way to verse 51 and beyond, even, to explain that there is a resurrection of the dead, or we're just wasting our time, especially since he was crucified with him too, you know, and he's actually talking to him when he's saying this. Let's not get too lettery like some of these people think, you know. To the Galatians, he said, I was crucified with him. So if he was crucified with him, then he might as well get raised with him too, eh? Or did the Galatians only get crucified and the Ephesians got raised with him? Let's not split hairs here. So when the apostle gets into this great detail, sometimes people read the Bible and they forget what's written several verses before it. But you know, this is the very same thing that saved me once, because on our TV set here many years ago on the news, this was just a little time before Easter, they said they found Jesus's coffin, first of all, and it was a stone mausoleum coffin with his name engraved on the side. This was right on our Canadian news, and it was written in Greek, like they all spoke Greek back then, these Hebrew people, and then of course they're going to write it in Greek on Jesus's stone coffin. And they said, we pulled the lid off and the bones are still inside. I was waiting for a joke, I really was, because it was very close to Easter. But they didn't joke about it. And you know, not everything is the truth when it's to the news, you know. I think we're really knowing that now. But it was even going on way back then. And it was going on way back here, too. Because they thought there was no resurrection of the dead, you know. It's the same story where, you know, well, you know, this woman married her brother and these Sadducees there, you know, and then he died and there was no offspring, and then well, through all, everybody died. Like God's got no power here to keep one of these guys alive for this woman after she married his seven brothers and they all died and there was no offspring. And of course Jesus said, you don't know the power of God, you don't know the scriptures either, because what does it say in Abraham? He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So that same statement applies even for us, because we have a God who's the God of the living, and we are living because we are supposed to be manifesting Christ. We're supposed to be active. And the problem being is when you see that partial verse there, of living is the word of God and active. Well, what if there's a different word? What if it's not the word of God? You know, as it says in that verse in Hebrews chapter 4, I think it's verse 12, living is the word of God and active. Mm-hmm. There's a word here that he's trying to explain to these brand new Christians. Don't forget, man, these are Greeks. They're Corinthians. They had a few gods and goddesses. You know, just the same way some people may not know this, but they've had incorporated into some Christian faiths old Roman gods and goddesses and Greek ones too. So they have done this by mixing it in with their former beliefs, and it hasn't gone away to this day. And some of them, you know, they would give you great freedom to be a Christian, but they want to legislate Christianity also. So that's a 1700 year mistake. And because you have to be, of course, as it says in Romans, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. And these are all done by the Father through grace for us. So but part of the grace is being resurrected. Resurrected from, or else what would your cross be worth? You know, pick up your cross and follow him, to lose your life, to gain your life. And the life you're gaining is that resurrected life in Christ Jesus, to bear fruit. Why else would Paul, or not Paul, but John, say to the Ephesians in his corrections about their first love? So we all have a first love that we received from the Lord. He loved us. We didn't love him. He first loved us, and he showed us how to love. And he still continues to show us how to love him, agape style. So this is just the Corinthians being corrected on something, and it's verse chapter 15. This is after, even when he's trying to explain to them that they have an error here, but they also operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, in chapter 12, 13, and 14, he's talking about that. And in 15, he's really talking about the resurrection here. And the gospel, because he's making known to them, brethren, as it says in 15 and 1, the gospel which I preach to you, which also ye receive, in which also ye stand. But you see now, as a good apostle and teacher and preacher and evangelist, he's bringing them correction. And he's been doing it a few times throughout all these chapters with other material. So just as Jesus did, and if you can look closely at these things, you would say that Jesus went to prepare a place for us. Where is that place? Is it earthly or heavenly? And that's why it goes into such detail here about the earthly and the heavenly lives in chapter 15. It's a really, really good, where it says, chapter 15 here, the 45th verse is also talking about someone who's not resurrected yet. The first man, Adam, is a living soul, but the last Adam, Jesus Christ, is a life-giving spirit. And of course, the life-giving spirit needs the Holy Spirit to help it live. You know, we can't live Christ by ourselves. We have to have the Holy Spirit to help us live this life. So that's Christ. Christ and the Holy Spirit, you need the three that are agreeing one, you know, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. All three are spiritual, but you know, there is an opposing word that brings an opposing spirit. The same way, you got to be active in God's word. To be active, it's for it to suddenly appear. It's for it to shine from us, and it's for us to be operating in the Holy Spirit, which the Lord said he would remind us of these things. When he sends the Comforter of the Holy Spirit in his name to teach us all things and to remind us of what he taught us. And of course, in effect here, this apostle Paul here is actually teaching them, and he's teaching them Holy Spirit too, a behavior that you're going to need to have when 51 comes along. And of course, God does it because he does everything anyway. Everything. Now, does you know what? If you want to goof off and be a goofy, he's gonna maybe chasing you for it. But you can learn from what things are wrong, and you can learn things from what are right. And I think he did this also with the Galatians. He showed them the fruits of the flesh first in Galatia chapter 5, and then he showed them the fruits of the Spirit, fruits of God's Spirit. And of course, the fruits of God's Spirit are in the knowledge too, which is the light. You've got to walk in the light of this this word. And living is the word of God, and active. And the name for Jesus is the name called the Word of God. So we need to be vessels of God's word, of God's word, because God's word is, for no word of God shall be void of power. And sometimes I feel as if I'm a slow person or something, you know, because when God speaks, it's supposed to always happen. And we have to be trained that this word that we read is like talking to the Almighty God. And the warnings are here, the upliftings are here, and the consolings are here. Sometimes we need a lot of consoling. It's just like you should be able to experience God's consoling for you, especially in deep times of sadness and things. And it really is something you shouldn't take for granted, okay? Because a lot of people go through a lot of trouble sometimes, and it really humbles them very well. You can just tell by their speech. Whereas others, you know, they're zealous too, and zeal, there's a lot of different things a person could be going through, but the zeal, also you got to be careful with zeal, that you remember that it doesn't work with someone who doesn't have the earnest of the Spirit. Because you can be zealous all you want, and you're going to maybe make this person more of a legalist than he already is, unless he understands its grace. So Paul knew how to do that very well, and he's doing it with some of this person was probably a Pharisee or something like that, but he was probably a Jew that lived in Corinth, and maybe a new convert also, and just like the person in the book of Acts who thought everyone had to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. And so we want to follow the fulfillment of the law, which is in the love, the agape love. That's why love is mentioned first in the fruits of the Spirit. I hope that helps a little bit, but I believe Paul was instructing people, and he still, this word, even though it's on ink and paper, and it don't matter even if it's red ink, that's still ink. I know ink. I used to work with ink. I was a printer once. It's got to be written upon your heart of flesh by the Spirit of God, and that would circumcise your heart, and then you will be this letter known in red of all men And all the men that are read it are the ones who have the Spirit. The ones who don't have the Spirit, they're not the letter. They got a blank page until God writes it upon your heart. He has to write it upon your heart because he said he would. It's part of the covenant. And you see, these people needed this correction so that this could be written upon their heart. As it says, that I will put these laws or words upon your heart and upon your mind. If God writes them there, then they're going to be written there. And we are to work with Christ and work with the Father for this, for us. Anyway, I think I talked too much. Praise and glory to God, though.
Amen, Andrew. That was good. Both you and Missy, too. Thank you. Where'd Missy? Oh, there she is. Thought she'd left out, girl. All right. Debbie, did that help?
Yes. I'm understanding what I was saying. I don't know why I was so stuck on that, not quite getting that. I don't know why. I think because I was reading commentaries and I was just messing me up, my thinking. But now it's very plain what Paul is. I see that now. I just get being stuck on baptized for the dead, baptized for the dead. I don't know. I just wasn't catching the buzz. Okay. Very really understandable.
Praise God.
What about resurrections?
Okay. Thank you for that question. It was a good one. All right, Missy.
Thank you all for your input.
Yeah, that the way it's worded, it makes it sound like somebody literally being baptized for a dead person, you know, like being a substitute for them or something. It's really, yeah, it does make you go tilt. You have to really look into it, but thank you, Lord.
Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a question or an answer? Didn't somebody come up with a question last week? I had one. Has anybody got a question? Got anything they'd like to share? Okay, well, praise God. Everybody's got it all well in hand. I've got one. I've got to find it first. All right, somebody else. Yeah.
I have a question.
All right.
Proverbs 9:1. Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. What are the seven pillars? What does that scripture mean? What are the seven pillars?
That's a good question.
Because it's talking about... Oops. Talking about the way of wisdom. She has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Where do the seven pillars come into play? What are they? Thought we have some wise people in here, so I thought they would ask help. Andrew knows.
I think I was taught that there's quite a bit to that number seven. And we know that we're supposed to be at rest. It's a description for his church, and there are seven churches in the book of Revelation. And there's actually seven lights for your night light to be at rest. And this rest, the seven is a number of rest, and of course if you're at rest, then you would be waking up out of your slumber, which would also be the next part of that rest. Because come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, with the word, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Of course, that's Christ Jesus' yoke. And I will give you rest. So there's the seven lights, and there's the seven churches. And even within those seven churches, one of them is mentions, I think, that word pillar. I can't remember exactly where it is, but I think the seven pillars are the seven churches. The angel of those seven churches is corrected those seven churches in the time where they were corrected. And of course, they all apply to the church in general. It doesn't matter what geographical region they're in, because the same church that was in Ephesus is the same church that was in Laodicea, as well as the others, the Smyrna, the Thyatira, the Pergamos, the Sardis, the Philadelphia, and of course the Laodicea. But there is a letter to the Laodiceans. It's mentioned in Colossians. Colossians. I don't know what that letter is. But there's also the church in Philadelphia, Philippi, Colossus, Ephesus, Galatia, Antioch, Rome, Corinth, Athens, and of course this is where Paul went to all these different places. And in the first three centuries, they went to quite a different myriad of places. And it seems to me that when they started bringing legislated Christians in, they soon quickly outnumbered the called, and the called in increasing ones. And that's what kind of happened in the third century. And something in the fifth century even happened afterwards that caused even more of a breakdown. And of course, that's when the Dark Ages started too. So the pillars have been of God's house are not supposed to be described in any other way than it does say in that proverb. Because if you're going to lessen it, then it's not going to be a pillar anymore. It's not going to hold up Jesus's place that he's going to prepare for us. So, and it has to have the same light in every heart of every man. Is supposed to be the same light that was always supposed to be in that temple that has probably pillars in it. And there's a table of showbread with 12 loaves on it, which is spiritual. And of course the light with these seven lights on it, the central light feeding three on one and three on the other side, which is the Spirit of God, which is to be holy and of course living. The Holy Spirit and living, and but both of them are together in that central light, which also feeds like a sap in a vine. The oil would go for every single lamp there, and all those seven, which would be the a Holy Spirit representation, because you need in. The Holy Spirit's in all of them because it's in this oil, but the central one is the Spirit of God. And so these pillars are set up by the Lord God Almighty, and he wants them exactly to look the way he wants them to look. And that's why there's some wonderful words there in that same verse that is associated with those pillars. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Something that Andrew said there made me think of another verse that I just looked up. And that is, it's like, well, we know Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's wisdom. He's wisdom. And God is all wisdom. So wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn out her seven pillars. Well, the thought that came to me is like in Revelation chapter 3, and it's about for the overcomers. Verse 12, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven for my God and my own new name. So if Jesus makes the overcomer a pillar in his temple, in the temple of my God, we're the, you know, Jesus is the temple, but we're also part of the temple, you know. Our bodies are a holy temple of the Lord. So I was thinking, you know, seven pillars, and you were saying, talking about the seven churches, and so anyhow, pillars hold up, you know, they like hold up the roof, they hold up the top, you know, they're a support or something, you know, you think of it that way. And then I looked up the word hewn out, and it's to cut like with trees or something, but also stone. We're stones. We're also living stones, and stones are built into the temple as well. So anyhow, I'm still not 100% what the seven pillars are, but I know it has, I think I really believe it has something to do with the temple of the Lord, that we're all part of that temple, and that when we overcome, Jesus is going to make us a pillar in his temple. And, you know, it could be the seven churches, like you said, Andrew, you know, the those who overcome in the seven churches to be part of the church. You know, because all the other churches, I have a sense, you know, they're kind of he had corrections for all of them, in a sense. So it's like for them to overcome, he will make them a pillar in the temple of, I'm not sure what church that is for the one he's talking about there. But anyhow, that kind of shed a little light too. Thank you, Andrew. And Joe had his hand up too, so he may have something else wise to say about that.
Yep, I saw it. Go ahead, Joe.
I'll try to explain. Thanks, Julie. Wisdom, well, already know it's Jesus. He built a house. Now it's God's word, but what God was sending Jesus for. And to you down the seven pillars is what Julie says about the overcomers in the seven churches. I don't think it's the same. Because in the next verse, he said, prepare a food. She a mixture of wine. In other words, food is the life of Christ. The wine is the life and the food is the word. He set the table. He sent out the invites. And the next verse also says he sent out the maidens, the prophets. In other words, they're sending the words, the people who know about the word, teaching the word, to come to his table. But you can learn from them. And then at the tops of high, that's the city when it's from Zion. I would say same as Julian, Andrew, it's seven pillars of seven churches, but our overcomers in the seven churches. Thank you.
Now, go ahead, Andrew.
I just wanted to remind you that the temple is a stationary place. It's more made out of stone and stuff. It's the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is in Hebrews chapter 8. Some of this stuff, you know, a lot of it's written in Hebrews. He was trying to explain to them the spirit of the word concerning this stuff. And of course, there is a bit of a mistake in the church that they have a letter understanding, but it has to be converted to the spirit. And some of them preach both. So, but this tabernacle is pitched by God, okay? And if it's a tabernacle, it includes all the stuff on the inside, the light and how it's looked after. And of course, Jesus is the main source for all of it, for this tabernacle, because he's the one that's our inner man dwelling on the inside. And so that's again too also controlled by the Father to dwell in us, and it's essential to have every single one of those lights lit, and God has to take care of that for us too, but we have to work with him. And him is being Jesus Christ. If we're going to be made into this temple, this tabernacle, we're actually being made as a progressive thing, too. Because the glory and the life and the love all kind of interfix with each other. Because it's a new nature and character. It's a new name we have. And this is the name that God's building in us to have this in a higher, mature way too, you know. So it's all in God's hands too, that he pitches this tabernacle or this temple, and he pitches the pillars in it too. And he makes everything good. Even Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, God." And of course Jesus had to come to invariably all this understanding too. And let's not forget what Simeon, the elderly man, said about the baby Jesus. That he's for the rising and falling of many. And we don't want to fall, and we don't want to speak against him. we want to grow, though, and even though we know that the Lord is gracious, but he really wants us to get it right. And I'm trying to be real careful on how I say this. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Anybody else? Anyone else? Hey, this would be a, what's your name, Debbie?
Okay, I'll just, well, I looked up about the seven spirits, seven gifts of the Spirit. In Isaiah, I lost the chapter. Isaiah chapter, verses 1 and 2. Speaking of wisdom and women, the seven women and seven gifts, they are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. So that kind of makes sense.
What chapter was that?
I'm going back to look. I lost it.
It's 11.
Oh, yeah, 11. Yeah. 11, 1 and 2. You know, I like the word fortitude. You know, it's courage and able to endure. So those are good pillars. Seven of those.
Just on a side remembrance, I remember David Eales doing a study with this 11 with the man-child ministry.
Yeah.
As it says in the further down this same chapter. I can't remember which day it was or where the study was.
Amen. All right, who's next? Must be about time for a song, Julie. All right, let's do it.
Joe has his hand up.
All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Just a little comment on a couple of weeks, I'll be short. A couple of weeks ago, somebody asked about Peter, James, and John, the three disciples that most loved, or that Jesus loved the most. Both of them were them. What I find interesting in my study was that Cephas, or Peter, is called Cephas, but the only three disciples who have a name change. Jesus gave him three names, but Peter was called Cephas, and James and John were calling sons of thunder. And the other name, but I cannot pronounce it. Bernagoras, I'm not sure what it is.
Berenices.
Oh, okay, that's it.
Berenices.
Yeah, so I just chose it interesting that the Lord chose both three with different. Names as well. He called them different names as well. So I'm going to just wonder maybe what do people think about why did just that three different names? I know he's chosen for a different, for a specific reason, but why did just only that three? He gave certain surnames or extra names.
All right, Julie.
Well, they all had a spiritual meaning, you know, that, you know, yeah. Cephas, what does Cephas mean? And Berenices means sons of thunder. And they, you know, and Jesus said that he would give everyone a new name, you know. So yeah, that was like, I think maybe a type and shadow of those who overcome or whatever, you know, I'm going to give you a new name, the name of this, my, the city of my God and my own new name. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay, Andrew.
Another, perhaps the seven pillars, when you go to the last chapter of John, they're all going fishing, and there's only seven that are going. So I just wanted to make that a mention of that.
Amen. All right. Let's hear a song.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight.
I can't do it for you. There's a song written on your heart only you can sing. And when you sing, enemies flee. When you sing, prison walls come falling down. When you sing, heaven invades the earth. So just begin to lift up your hallelujah. Raise it like a banner.
Hey man, that's a good song. I like that. That's a get out your chair song. I believe that was done for a child, wasn't it? A pastor's child that was sick. Or something. Was that Bethel?
I don't know if it was a pastor's child, but it was somebody I think within their church group or something that was sick and dying or something like that. And they all came together and it's like, we're not letting the enemy defeat us. We're going to start praising God for this child's health and to be restored. And God did it.
Praise
God. It's a neat testimony. Yeah, it's a neat testimony.
Yeah, I heard about it. Was that Bethel? I thought so. Yeah. Yeah, that was the pastor's son, I believe. Now, I could be mistaken, but I thought that, no. Missy says no. She's the ultimate authority, so I guess we'll just go with that.
I don't think it was a pastor, but I think it was somebody within their church group, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was under the impression it was. Yeah, Andrew.
No, I was thinking of the book of Acts where I think it's John and Peter praise the Lord for being beaten for speaking the Lord's word. And that's not usually what you do. You know, like, I think people pass over that quite quickly when they're reading it. And how long did they sing? How long did they praise the Lord? Can you praise the Lord without saying anything? That's a good thing to think about. Because,
yeah, you can praise the Lord praying in the Spirit. Amen. Singing in the Spirit.
You can praise the Lord by your behavior.
Yeah.
The Lord's behavior, glory to the Lord. Sorry, I said that wrong. You can praise the Lord Paul gave praise to the Lord when he turned 64. He didn't go far beyond 64, but he praised the Lord, the Apostle Paul. So an action. I'm not going to say anything more.
Oh, yes, okay, Andrew. That's all right. Yeah, Julie.
Well, Lord was encouraging me, not just with that song. That meme, that song came up in my feed today, but just the other day, I've just been going through this long trial, and I'm doing everything I know that I'm supposed to be doing, and yet, you know, I'm not getting like what I think is my victory, you know, it hasn't manifested and that kind of thing. And it's been kind of heavy and weary some days. And I'm like, well, Lord, what am I supposed to do, you know? And, you know, it's like he would tell me, you know, every time I would confess the word and I'd rebuke the devil and, you know, I'd confess him and speak the truth and use my sword and use the armor and doing everything I know and praise him and thank him. And so I was like, okay, so what else do I do? I'm trying to rest, but it's, you know, there's times where it's hard. It's been hard for me to rest. And he said, continue just to praise me and thank me. Continue to praise me and thank me and rest. And because the enemy would try to get me to sin, essentially, by putting me in doubt, unbelief because of what I was experiencing, putting me in, trying to provoke me, essentially, getting in and using anxiety, using stress, using all kinds of his normal tactics. And I would just keep battling against it and stuff. And, it, you know, it starts to get weary. You know, when you keep doing it and it's like you don't seem like you're getting the victory, but I know God's doing something and there's fruit being manifested. It has to be, because it ain't for nothing. No, it is not for nothing. Well, so anyhow, I just like, okay, you're right. You know, what else can I do but praise you, God? It's already done. It is done. I confess the word, it's finished. And so I just keep praising the Lord. So when that song came up in my feed today, I'm like, I'm just going to praise him louder. I'm just going to sing louder, you know, in the presence of my enemy, you know.
Amen.
That's what he was really wanting me, you know, to get that across to me. Just keep praising me. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter. It's already done. And I've got the victory. You know, let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. You know, and there is a work being done of long suffering and, you know, manifesting his nature. And Jesus, but when you think about it, Jesus put up with a lot of guff, you know, but he didn't get angry with when he was being antagonized and he was being provoked and he was being, you know, yelled at and he, you know, they were saying all kinds of lies against him and all these things. He never responded to them in the way that they were trying to get him to do, like the antagonizing. And then I was relating to that with all of what's happening in these blue cities, like, you know, what's happening, you know, presently in Minneapolis and stuff. They're using antagonizing, they're trying to provoke ICE and, you know, law to react to their, you know, they're pushing back and all they're yelling in their faces and, you know, doing all kinds of terrible things. And I was praying for them, like along those lines, what I was dealing with, you know, the enemy trying to get me anxious, trying to get me, you know, provoke me to anger and to get mad. I'm like, why aren't you demons listening to me? You know, because I know I'm dealing with spiritual things, it's not physical stuff. Yeah. Anyhow, so praise God a little louder and keep praising him and in the face of my enemy. He can't stop me from praising. I know it's already done. You lose, devil.
Amen. 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 All right, Debbie.
Well, I thought the Lord was speaking a word to me during that song. So I want to share. But the Lord was speaking a word to me through that song.
Well, girl, let's hear it.
Okay. So he was saying, so raise the hallelujah. Put passivity aside and go out and raise that hallelujah. Go forth and raise it. Go forth from your dwelling place, for I am your dwelling place. Go forth and raise the hallelujah, and you will turn heads. You will turn heads. When you turn those heads, hearts would be turned to me because of your hallelujahs. Thank you, Lord. That was it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Help us to do it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. That reminds me of the story of Kenneth Hagin talking about this lady that needed a healing. And he preached on, you know, he preached on faith almost every sermon. And he did that during that, while she was there. She went home, and those faith verses, she kept banging the demons and the devil with them for 5 hours. And she got that faith. What she was doing, she was speaking faith, but it was also going into her heart at the same time, her spirit at the same time. And once she finally got that grasp of what faith was, the healing came. Praise God, you know. And what he's talking about, what he was relating was that she was speaking faith from the Word of God, and it was getting into her spirit until the point to where she finally believed it. You understand? Endure in your faith to the end. End of what? The end of your trial. Whatever it is, makes no never mind. Yeah, Andrew. Not that that is a formula, but what he was showing was just the endurance to do it. Go ahead.
Oh, it's just a blessing. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah, Julie.
Debbie, would you mind typing that word up that you got and sharing it?
Yeah, blog.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or put it in the UBM chat too.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sure.
Copy me.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? We got 4 or 5 minutes left. No, there. Yeah, 4 minutes. Yeah, Andrew.
Just so I know, hallelujah is praise the Lord, right?
Okay. Hallelujah. We praise the hallelujah right before my enemies. I guess that's the way it goes. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
I just want to say, Angelica, I have done that in the parking lots. You know, I'm sorry. I'm
praise the hallelujah.
Yeah, we would. Hallelujah. We just have hallelujah in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, turn ahead and get us.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all pray. Better be glad there ain't no Somalis around. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it don't make no never mind. You got dominion over them. Amen. That's cool. That's boldness in the Lord. Amen. I do it too. I'll be walking down the street or something and holler, praise the Lord. Something will come to me. Go ahead, Julie.
Just thinking of, we raise a hallelujah in the presence of our enemies. And the other thing that was coming to my mind was Psalm 23, where thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Amen.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's the word of God. You know, it's the word of God, the table. They're going to sit here and watch me eat and drink.
Amen.
Amen.
It is a wonderful blues gospel song on the 23rd of Psalm. That's a good song.
There is, like. Michael. I've never heard it, really.
Yeah, okay.
So I assume that you're going to drink water, milk, wine, and honey.
Wine. Wine and honey. There you go. Milk and honey, wine. Yeah. The Lord's wine.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see.
Drink his blood and eat his body. That's what I'm going to do. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, it's. I was thinking about that the other day, Vanita. This communion. We can do that. Let me pray and ask the Lord what he says. And then we'll come back and do it. So go ahead and get your stuff, your makings ready, because we're going to do it. I just don't know when. I'll have to go get me another bottle of wine. I get them little old bitty bottles, you know. It's about that big. No.
A magnum, right, Michael?
Yeah. A little bottle of magnum communion wine. No. I do. I just go up there and get those little $7, $8 bottles. $5, $6 is what they are. Yeah, you could almost buy a gallon of it back home, back when I was doing that kind of garbage, for $5. Well, okay. Looks like we're out of time. Did I hit the record button? I did, didn't I? Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I did.